Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble, as ever, in Dalgetty Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show teacher Paul Murray. Welcome to Edutalk, Paul.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Great. And can you just start by giving listeners a kind of background to your career in education and teaching?
Yeah, I was born in Canada by a strange kind of set of circumstances, brought up in Pennycook, just on the other side of the Pentland Hills. And I did a chemistry degree at University of Edinburgh and later on a PhD, and I did my teacher training at the University of Edinburgh as well. And I'm one of those few people who is a magic box ticker. I ticked the fabled magic box to teach anywhere in Scotland and landed in Fife, actually not that far from where I come from in the first place. So I landed in Kirkcaldy High School as a probationer, and I managed to apply for and get a job at the end of that. So I've been teaching chemistry in Kirkcaldy High School for about 6 years now. In fact, exactly 6 years. I've just seen my first cohort of kids from first year through to sixth year now.
That's great. And really, just over the next 15 minutes or so, we're just going to hear a bit about your teaching practice and the various other things that you're involved in. So can you tell us a bit more about your current post and some of the extra things that you do?
So currently I'm a teacher of chemistry and science. I have been the principal teacher for, one of two as a job share, principal teacher for STEM for the last 2 years. As well as my kind of day-to-day chemistry teaching, I'm involved in loads of different things. I run a radio show myself. The kids do a weekly radio show on K107 FM over in Kirkcaldy. And in the back of that, we actually have a very active stage tech team who do lights and sound for various shows and the prize giving and stuff like that. And but one of the main things, one of the big things I've been involved with over the last couple of years is the school LGBT group, which started, I think, back in 2014, as far as I remember. So I'm a kind of teacher. I like to be involved in loads and loads of different things. I really enjoy the kind of life of the school and just being involved and getting to know the kids through kind of obviously through classes, but through other things as well, because you get such a different side of them when you're out on these things, and that's just really, really lovely. And it helps to forge your relationship not only with the kids you kind of work with directly through these things, but also with other the school as a whole, because your sort of name goes out there as the teacher who tends to be involved in things and is kind of committed and up for stuff and things like that.
And I noticed that the recent Fife Voluntary Action Awards, that Moen football team was actually up for one of the awards, that was it the LGBT group that was actually shortlisted for one of the prizes?
Yeah, it was actually our chairperson, Bowie, who was nominated and then won volunteer, I think Young Volunteer of the Year it was. Bowie was actually nominated by Pink Saltire, which is the kind of Scottish LGBT charity, and won it. I was delighted. I was at the ceremony, and it was a glitzy ceremony. It was really nice. Over in the Rothes Halls in Glenrothes. So yeah, a very proud moment for KHS, that one. Really, really proud.
So I'm assuming from what you said earlier on, Paul, that maybe you weren't involved in setting up the LGBT group, but I'm wondering what kind of qualities or what kind of actions do you need to put in place to actually make that work?
And not emphasise that enough, you are absolutely correct. You're right enough, it wasn't started by me. It was actually started and to this day is driven by the kids. It actually started with a prefect interview. It was one of the girls about 3-4 years ago was being interviewed to be a prefect. And at the end of her interview, they asked that classic question, well, what do you think the school should be doing? And she said, well, the school does nothing for LGBT. What's the story there? And so the teacher who'd interviewed her went along and spoke to another teacher, a lady called Gillian Pirrie, who had not long since joined the school at that point, but he knew had experience of setting up an LGBT group or at least being part of one in a previous school. And so Gillian took that to heart and had a chat with the boss and put a notice in the bulletin, and the LGBT group was started. And it's one of these interesting things that so many schools at the moment and the sort of education as a whole, we're all very concerned about strategies and papers and all this kind of thing. This kind of wonderful thing that has happened in my school was a result of no strategy or anything like that. It was a suggestion from a kid that we kind of just went, right, we should do that. LGBT group was started. It'll be on a Tuesday at lunchtime. in this room over here. Anybody's welcome, come along. And the whole thing just snowballed from there. We were very lucky in a kind of couple of respects in that we managed to get a number of kids who were really, really vocal, very, very articulate and really up for kind of doing stuff in the site, kind of want to change the world kind of kids, which is great to have on board. So we're lucky in that respect, but we're also sort of more lucky, I would say, with the support of the senior management team, because any time I've heard of teachers talking about wanting to set up an LGBT group and having trouble doing it, it's always been barriers being put into place by the senior management team. And we were, and Gillian at the time was really, really lucky that none of that really existed. I think she had a conversation with the head, and the head would have expressed some sort of, asked some questions, but it really was in kind of, I don't think was in too much doubt that this was the right thing for the school to be doing. So yeah, it was originally started by Gillian and it went into the school bulletin. And I kind of joined a little bit later, maybe about 3 or 4 months into the group existing, more just as an interested party. And actually to kind of explore the LGBT thing myself, because it's something that's sort of been floating around my head for quite a long time. And then when Gillian left the school just at the end of last year, I'd been then part of the LGBT group for a couple of years, so it was kind of, I was the obvious successor to take it on. And as well as our, so we have our Tuesday lunchtime meeting, which is a sort of, is a safe space in inverted commas, but I think the kids are quite clear that a safe space is not actually a thing they need, because the whole school is generally seen as safe. But they like a place that they can come and hang out on a Tuesday lunchtime and chat about whatever and start, you know, I think certain kids will use it as an excuse to kind of start exploring their sexuality or gender identity, because you can sort of come out within the group and that's not a sort of formal coming out to the kind of world at large. So it's a safe space in that regard that you can actually start to explore these things. So we do that on a Tuesday lunchtime, but that's mostly kind of folk just hanging out and eating lunch. The other thing we do on a Monday lunchtime is we have a committee, and we have representatives from years across the school, from first year right up to sixth year. And we have a chairperson, we have a vice chairperson, so properly, and we're actually looking at recently getting it properly constitutionalised, if that's the right word, we're writing a constitution for it. And that's the kind of body that actually goes out and does stuff. So when sort of Kingham FM have come knocking on the door looking for an interview, it's the committee that would do it. Likewise, the Fife Free Press. We've had other high schools knocking on our door wanting to actually set up a group themselves, so we're going to pay them a visit. Tomorrow we've got a really interesting one where we're doing a training event, what's called the Grand Round for the NHS. So basically a pile of NHS staff are coming tomorrow, again about lunchtime, to learn about LGBT stuff from me and my kids. And that's a remarkable thing. We're actually kind of leading training. We've done it in the school already. We've led training events in the school for other teachers, but we're actually starting to branch out and kind of do that for other organisations too. We've been to various conferences. We were at the Respect Me event, which was, I think, earlier this year. Loads and loads of stuff over the last couple of years that have just come our way. And we kind of tend to have a sort of just yes on the email when it comes in. Yeah, we're up for that. We're up for that. And again, because I've got the backing of the senior management, I know fine that if I say, yeah, we're going to go out and do this thing here, the senior management will be absolutely up for that and up for us publicising that and all that kind of stuff, then it really is no problem and really is a complete joy to be part of.
That's absolutely fascinating, Paul. I'm sure listeners will be really interested to hear how successful that group has become. Best wishes for the future with that. And moving on to the radio show now. So K107 is obviously a well-known station in the Kirkcaldy area. So how did that come about? And how do you get the young people involved? I would imagine that this is something that kind of fits in with the whole kind of developing the young workforce agenda, and you know, it can kind of go across the different areas of the curriculum.
You're absolutely correct. That came about because the manager, I think he's the manager of K107 FM, Colin, had come to visit the school, and I think as part of their application to become a community radio station, they had to put on their kind of what they were going to do, that they were going to do some form of youth thing and probably involve the school. So that kind of sent Colin in our direction. When he came to the school, he found a group of kids who were interested and kind of started a little weekly radio show with them. And a little bit later on, I got involved. So yeah, it is. It's a great kind of. It's a great STEM thing, actually. So as well as the kind of communication skills, which you obviously have to be able to do radio, as you will know yourself. There's also the kind of technological aspect of that. So the kids actually operate the radio desk. They'll record stuff and do editing on it, that kind of stuff. So they're doing the kind of full-on radio kind of production as part of what they're doing. And on the back of that, when we did a show a couple of years ago, we did The Wizard of Oz. My boss, Mr. Fleming, who's the head of the science, we were talking about wanting to actually get a tech team together to actually tech this show in lights and sound. And we'd had a sort of ad hoc tech team in the previous show we'd done, but never anything really concrete. And it was Neil, Mr. Fleming, that came up with the idea of, well, why don't we ask the radio show kids? They're doing that kind of stuff. It would make sense. That's radio sound. It's quite similar to doing stage sound and lights. It's a similar, it's got faders and it's kind of works in the same sort of way. So as a result of that, again, the group of kids who've been part of all that have ended up teching a lot of the school shows. So we work in very close collaboration with drama. We've done, say, The Wizard of Oz was the first one we did. And since then, we've got end of term talent shows. We've got things like the prize giving. We've got things like when drama do the Shakespeare School Festival. That's a really good one. And there's another one called the Connections Festival as well. And for both of those, they actually end up going and doing the stage tech in a professional venue. So we ended up in the Byer Theatre in St Andrews using their equipment, and the kids actually ran the show on their equipment. And then again, we ended up in the Traverse Theatre down in Edinburgh on their equipment too for the Connections one, and the kids again ran the show. So it's similar to the LGBT group. I like to be the leader, but I like the kids to actually take the lead in this, and they really do. And nowadays, what's going on? So we've got a talent show at the end of next week, and the kids are already coming to me saying, "Dr. Murray, can we go along to the auditions just so we can see what everybody's planning to do, and then we can get an idea of what they need?" And I'm going, "Yeah, you crack on. Just go and do that. That's brilliant." And I can almost not step back, but I can let them take the lead in it, which I think is so important. And that gives them the kind of the skills that so many, I think, a lot of kids are actually lacking when they come out of school these days.
If you don't mind me asking, Paul, you know, how do you capture those skills or capture that achievement? You know, do you link it to formal qualifications or wider achievement, or is it about, you know, getting it onto the CV?
I think for me, it's more about getting it on CV. There are, I have heard on the grapevine that there are qualifications that you can get involved. I think there is a stage tech qualifications, and I have actually considered looking into that and never kind of got around to it yet. But as far as I'm concerned, it's about CV points for one thing, but it's also about the sort of wider, what we once called, I don't know if we still do, transferable skills. That I see these kids who are building these skills on the radio, and suddenly they're actually starting to say more in class. You know, they're actually starting to voice more in class. And I'm kind of seeing that on the back of what they're doing in the radio show and starting to get involved in other things. Well, a couple of the kids who are in the radio show, they did a thing through the RE department where they were applying. They had to do a presentation to get some funding for the radio show. And again, you could see the skills that they had acquired as a result of doing the radio show coming out and that kind of stuff. So to me, the extracurricular stuff in the LGBT group's the same, because the sort of leadership skills that these kids are gaining as a result of doing that is just unbelievable. And I'm seeing these kids now are beginning to become prefects and sort of deputy head boy and stuff like that. You know, all these kind of skills feed into, back into the curriculum, back into life of the school. And again, that's just so fantastic.
You're saying there, really, you're capturing everything that you've spoken about so far, really, is so much about student leadership. And I noticed you were tweeting a while back there about the student leadership speeches. So, you know, what else goes on in terms of your own practice in the school or the wider work of the school to foster student leadership?
Do you know, that's a really interesting question, because when we were inspected in the first year that I was teaching, one of the things that came out very strongly in the inspection was the extent to which the senior kids, like the S6s particularly, but you know, even the kind of S4s and S5s, are really fantastic ambassadors and really do take the lead on so many things within the school. And I think over the years, Kirkcaldy High School has been doing things like these kind of things that have just nurtured that kind of culture. And we've got stuff like the STEM Ambassador Scheme as well. So we take kids who are sort of quite sciencey kids or engineering and maths, and we'll send them down to the primary schools to help with primary science. We'll get them to come into classes in Kirkcaldy High and actually help in class two and STEM clubs and stuff like that. So there's all sorts of opportunities across the school. There's sports ambassadors as well who take the lead in football teams and rugby teams and stuff like that. So there's loads and loads of fantastic opportunities for the kids to take leadership roles. And again, you can see the confidence that that just builds over the time that they're in the school, when they come in as wee scared first years right through to being sixth years and actually heading out into the world with this fantastic skill set that I think just does their credit and does the school credit as well.
And just finally, Paul, you're active on Twitter, and I don't know if you want to say a wee bit about that and how you use it, but you know, to what extent, what does your professional learning kind of activities look like these days? Do you use a mixture of social media and kind of STEM networks? What has the most impact for you?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, I've been involved in the LGBT stuff. I've been doing quite a lot of the Stonewall Train the Trainer courses, which has allowed me to gain the skills to actually train up people in the school and also kind of pass that back on to the kids. So the kind of stuff I get from Stonewall comes back to the kids in the events that they're running, like the one they say we're doing tomorrow. The social media has been an amazing thing just in terms of raising the profile of all of these kind of things that the school does. I think the LGBT group's a great example of that. And for us, the social media is a great thing for stimulating discussion. We'll quite often retweet things, and when we retweet things or like things, we're not necessarily saying that we agree with it. We're just chucking it out there for folk to chat about and see what they think. And these things come back into the school and kids will start asking about these things. So it really does, it's a great tool to kind of get discussion going as well. And in terms of professional learning, yeah, a lot of opportunities come through social media. So you'll see somebody saying, I've got this workshop opportunity available. And sometimes it's a teacher training thing. Sometimes a thing that can actually come into the school for the kids. And it just allows you to see what's out there and take as many opportunities as you possibly can.
And what does the future hold then, particularly in terms of your current post? What kind of things are you looking to develop within the existing groups, or is there anything else that you're looking to get off the ground soon?
At the moment, we're looking towards our next school show, which is going to be probably one of the biggest ones we've done. So, and one of the things I'm really looking forward to is getting the technical team involved in that show from the very beginning. Last time we did a big school show, I say The Wizard of Oz, it was more kind of at the end of the kind of process to do rehearsals and stuff that the tech team got involved. This time I want them to be involved from the start so they can actually do proper lighting design and actually see the rehearsals so they can see where everyone's standing and just do this thing properly from the ground up. So I'm really excited about that. And in terms of the LGBT group, I'm really interested in this idea of the kids actually going out and taking their skills, their knowledge and understanding, and not only spreading it around other schools, which we've already done, but actually taking it into the wider world. We're doing that for the first time tomorrow with the NHS. And I'll be interested to see where it goes from there. It has been mooted that we could take this into businesses in terms of a sort of get to know your LGBT staff kind of thing. I think that's got legs, and I think there's lots of really interesting directions we could take that in. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Paul, if people want to find out more about your work or what you like to share to other teachers or students, where can they find you online?
The best place to find me is in there's two Twitters that I kind of tend to tweet on fairly regularly. There's my own personal Twitter, which I don't tweet on a huge amount, but the KHS LGBT one, so it's Twitter KHS underscore LGBT, and the other one is KHS Science, which is all one word, KHS S-C-I-E-N-C. And those two Twitters are the two that I kind of manage along with a couple of other people. And so if you want to see the sort of work that we're doing, those are two good places to look. But also the school Twitter as a whole, Mr. Alan the Head is actually very good at picking up things that we tweet and then retweeting them back out there so they go into the kind of main school Twitter, which I think is just Kirkcaldy High. So if you go into those, you'll get a pretty good flavour of what we're all about.
That's great, Paul. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know that we're nearly there.
We're nearly there, indeed.
And I can tell in your voice that you've obviously been at the heart of the stage show and various other things. So it's thankfully we're just a few days away from giving ourselves all a really good rest. So
yeah,
thank you so
indeed,
much.
Indeed, my My voice is probably bad after the Pride March on Saturday when I think I was waving flags and screaming and shouting with the kids like a maniac, but we had a fabulous time.
And was this the one in Fife? Was this the...
This was the Edinburgh one, It was Edinburgh Pride. Right. Fife Pride's on the 7th of... The 7th of July. We don't tend to do that one as a school trip because the kids actually volunteer and get involved in it. The Edinburgh one we actually did as a school trip and went and sort of did the Pride March. But I say the Fife one we actually volunteer for.
All right. Well, fantastic. I'll definitely need to get along to that.
It's all good.
So thanks again, Paul, and we'll hopefully get you back on EduTalk in the coming months and years to hear more about your excellent work. So best wishes to you and most importantly to your students.
That's very kind. Thanks again for having me on.